Oh, please turn with me to Job 23, verse 10. Job 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, we're looking today at this one verse, really, of Job, and which he spoke in the midst of great trial and distress. He knoweth the way that I take. And my title is, My Way or God's Way? Which way will I choose for life? Which path will I follow? My way, my own way, my own will, my own choice, or will I go God's way? And so we're thinking here of this man, Job, a patriarch. This book is most likely the oldest book in the Bible. And Job, one of the old patriarchs, and he says, in this chapter, we read about a very bitter experience that he is passing through. But actually, before he passed through this particular experience, many other bad things had happened to him. Initially, he was living a very prosperous life, a very blessed and happy life. Everything was going fine for him. Everything was going well. He had a big family. He had lots of children. He had lots of possessions. He was a wealthy man. He had lots of cattle, camels and herds of different animals. And he was doing really well. He was above all in communion with God, and he loved God, and he lived for the Lord. But one day Satan said to God, "Oh, Job, he only serves you because you are blessing him. He's only loving you because he's doing so well. You're protecting him. You're looking after him. You're surrounding him with blessings. You're putting a hedge around him. And you're so blessing him. That's the reason why he's serving you. If you remove all those things, you take all those things away from him, oh, he will surely curse you. He will surely turn against you. Take away everything from him, and this is what he will be like." So, in a sense, God said to Satan, "Okay, I give you permission to do that." And that's what happened. You can read it in the first two or three chapters in Job. Job lost everything. He lost all his possessions. He lost all his cattle. He lost all his herd. And he lost all his children. All of that happened in a day. And he lost all his children in one single day. And even worse, he himself was afflicted with a terrible disease, with boils. And he had to lie down. And he couldn't do anything. And he was in great agony. And he was in great pain. But he couldn't. Did he curse God? Did he turn against God? No, he didn't, friends. He said, "I will still trust in him. I will still go on trusting in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." But in this chapter, we fast forward to Job here, 23, and he's still in the midst of his suffering. He's still in the midst of great distress. But an even greater distress, it seems, is upon him in that he cannot find God. In the midst of his sufferings, he cannot locate his God. And he doesn't have the sense of God that he once had. He once enjoyed sweet communion with God. He once knew the Lord drawing near to him and him drawing near to God. And they had a friendship together, and he enjoyed that. He loved walking with God and talking with God. But now it seems all these things have happened and he cannot locate God. He cannot find him. Verse 3, he says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." See, friends, he already knows the Lord, and he's missing God in his life, we could say, because he's tasted and experienced him, and he longs to know him again and to have his presence again with him. He cannot find him. verse 8, he goes on to say, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." He was looking for God and couldn't find him. Oh, friends, today, how few people are looking for God in this way. How few today can say, like he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Most people don't want to find God. And you want to talk to them about God, they say, "Don't tell me about God. Don't speak about God." Isn't it one of the things, if you go to the drinking houses of today, you can't talk about religion. You can't talk about God. No one wants to mention this subject. "Oh, leave me alone. If you have religion, if you have God, you keep it to yourself. Don't talk about it with me." But oh, that friends, we would also be seeking God. How few they are that seek him. But Job was seeking God. And here he says, "Though I cannot perceive him, yet," verse 10, "he knows the way that I take." I cannot discern his presence. I'm looking for him, but I cannot perceive where he is. But he knows exactly where I am. And he knows the way that I'm taking and the way that I'm going. He knows all about me. I cannot locate him, but he knows exactly where I am. And so, with that introduction, I'd just like to give you a few points from this verse. "But he knoweth the way that I take." And firstly, the all-knowing God. This is my first point. God, my friends, knows everything. Job didn't know where God was, because of course he's limited as well in his understanding. He's just a human being like you and I are. But God knows everything. God knew where he is. "We are limited, but he knoweth," he says, "the way that I take." This is one of the many attributes of God. One of the things that we can say about God, one of the things that God has revealed himself, revealed about himself to us. One of the things that makes God, God. That he knows everything. And he is aware of everything, as we read in that Psalm, Psalm 139. The same cannot be said of us. We are so limited in what we can do. We are so restricted in what we can do. We can only be in one place at one time. We are so limited in our understanding. We're always learning things. Every day maybe we are learning something or other, adding to our knowledge of this world and how it works. Or we're growing our understanding. We may live 1,000 years and we'll still be learning something every single day. We're still researching, we're still experimenting, we're still finding things out, we're still making discoveries, we still have our eureka moments. "Oh, we've discovered this thing, this is how it works." But with God, there is no such discoveries. There is no such research. He never learns, because he is the most intelligent being that there is. Everything there is to know about everything, about the science, the physics, the mathematics, the biology, the geography of this world, he already knows all these things. Friends, there's nothing new to God. Nothing new. There's no new knowledge. There's no new discoveries. We have to ask questions and try and find out things, but not God, because he knows everything. We are limited, but he knows. Our knowledge is limited, but God knows everything. Well, friends, we are limited in our understanding, isn't it, of each other. We know one another. We think we know people well, but we're always discovering new things about people. Even it may be our marriage partners. Maybe we married 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and still we don't know everything there is to know about each other. Or we are familiar with some things. We've learned what they will do in certain scenarios, and certain patterns of behavior, we can more or less guess, oh, he's going to do this or she's going to say that. But we still don't know everything about even our spouses. We don't know what they're thinking. And sometimes we have to ask, what are you thinking? What do you think we should do? We are not familiar with these things. Our friends, God knows all of us, every individual person inside out. And he knows what we will do before we do it. And what we will say before we say it. And even what we will think before the thought even springs into your mind. God already knows that you were going to think these things. Can we grasp these things? Very hard, isn't it, to grasp that such a being exists. And yet this is what the Bible says of him. Amazing, friends. This God who has created all things. This God who knows all things. Then our knowledge. Well, our knowledge may be wrong. Our knowledge may be incorrect. And often needs to be corrected, needs to be changed, needs to be added to. Maybe we've been wrongly taught at school. Well, I mentioned before, but when I was in China, you know, many children were taught London is a foggy city. You know, well, that was many years ago. It's not a foggy city anymore, most of the time. But, you know, they were wrongly taught these things at school. And so we're wrongly taught so many things. Our teachers, our professors, our instructors, well, they're not perfect in knowledge. They also make mistakes. They also come to wrong conclusions of something. But God knows all things perfectly well. He is perfect in his knowledge. He never makes a mistake. He never makes a mistake in his judgment. He never makes a mistake in his conclusions. We're often making mistakes in our conclusions, whether it's about a situation or about a person. We come to a wrong conclusion about things. Maybe our prejudice affects us. Maybe our biasness or just our lack of information means that we do not arrive at the correct situation. But God is not like that. God has all the information that he needs, and he sees people's hearts, and he sees intentions. Everything he sees clearly, and he makes perfect judgments because he is impartial. There is no bias with God. He is righteous in all his judgments. God's knowledge, we could say, is linked with his omnipresence, that he is everywhere present. And because he is everywhere, so he knows all and sees all that is happening. We could say God's knowledge is also tied to the final judgment that is to come. Because on that final day of judgment, well, the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, just like a judge in the courtroom, well, he needs the evidence. He needs the information before he can acquit a person or condemn a person. The information must be presented to him and to the jury. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ will have all that perfect information, all that perfect knowledge will be before him, so that a person who stands before him and their eternal destiny is in his hands, will they go to heaven or will they go to hell? Will depend, well, he will have all the knowledge of how that person has lived their life, so that he can make a righteous judgment. Friends, God knows all about us. We may be unaware of him. We should be aware of him because he has revealed himself. He's not left us to just grope in great darkness to try out and find him. He has made himself known to us. Oh yes, it's true. We cannot see him with our naked eye, but he has given us evidence that he is present. He is existent. He is our creator. When you look at this world and the order that is in this world, well, how can these things come into being by chance? From just chemicals, how can we who are such complex beings come into existence? How? We cannot even explain ourselves. We're still finding out about the cells in our body. We're still discovering so many things about ourselves. And the more we discover, the more we realize just how complex we are. And we realize surely that is a proof that we were created, that we were made by Him. We have that conscience to also help us. Oh friends, how can conscience come from evolution? How can conscience come from chemicals? That cannot be explained. Why does everybody have a conscience? Something that tells them, that's wrong what you did. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. Or that's right. That's good what you've done. Where does that come from? That's God giving us a token of an evidence of His presence, of His existence. That sense of God is given to each one of us. Oh friends, each one of us should be aware of God and should be seeking Him. If we don't know Him, this should be our cry. Verse 3 again. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. You find Him, friends, in Christ. You find Him in the Word. But you must seek after Him, and then you will find Him. But then secondly, see here, Job says in verse 10, but He knoweth the way that I take. And my second point is, God knows me. God knows me as an individual, the way that I take. And Job, actually here, he found comfort in this word. Because as a believer, even though he couldn't perceive where God is, he still found comfort in knowing, well, God knows, the Lord knows. The Lord knows all about me. And for the believer, he often finds comfort in this, an encouragement. He finds the situation that he is in perplexing and troubling, and he doesn't know sometimes what's happening to him. But he says, the Lord knows. I don't know why all these things are happening. I don't know what's happening tomorrow, but the Lord knows. I'm in His hands. I'm under His care. I'm under His guidance. I have His love. I trust in Him that He will make things plain in due time. The believer knows. But for the unbeliever, these words, oh, there may be a terror. He knoweth the way that I take. That God knows the way that I take as an unbeliever. Is that one of us here today? The choices that I've made in the past, well, He knows all those choices that I've made, all the decisions that I've made in the past. Maybe it's that decision to leave God out of my life, to put Him to one side, to say, well, I don't want God in my life. I'll have nothing to do with Him, thank you very much. And He said it very politely. No, thank you, I don't want God. Just leave me alone. I just want a nice, comfortable, quiet life. But without God, well, He sees, He's heard what those words. He's aware when we choose to go our own way. He's aware when we choose to spurn His way. When we choose the way of the world, I want to go the way that everybody else is going. I want to go the popular path. Well, He knows that choice that you've made, friends. God knows the plans. What's the plan that we've made for our life? Oh, the plan for my life is to live for myself. I want to be happy. This is my motto for my life. I must be happy. I will do things my own way. Like the singer said, I did it my way. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just do everything my way, for me. I'm going to live for number one, for myself. Is that my life's motto? Well, God knows that you've taken that way. Oh, I don't want God. I want to pursue a selfish way, indifferent to God, indifferent to His claims in our life. Oh, friends, this is all known to Him. He knows all the plans that I'm making for the future. What I'm going to do in the future, how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do this, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to get rich, and I'm going to do all these things. But no thought for God. Well, you know, Christ, He told that story, that parable of the rich fool, the rich man who was already very rich, And he became even richer. And he said, now what shall I do? I've got all this extra that has come in, extra crops. What shall I do? I know I'll break down my barns and build bigger barns. And so then I will say to my soul, take easy, rest, and enjoy all these things. And then basically retire and enjoy life in a nice, comfortable life. And God said to him, you fool, you're a fool, because this night your soul will be required of you. And friends, we're foolish. I'm sorry to say that. We're idiotic if we choose a life without God. If we say, I'm going to live my life in the future, the plan for my future is to live a life without God. We may not verbalize it. It may be the intention and the plan in our hearts. I'm going to live and save myself. Maybe I'm going to retire and just spend out my days in the comfort, doing whatever I wanted to do, and living life just to please myself. But I'm not going to think about God. I'm not going to think about His requirements for my life. Dear friends, we cannot hide anything from God. He knows the way that I take. These words could also be translated in this way. Or, He knows the way that is in me. He knows the way that is inside me. God knows what is going on inside me. My inner thoughts, my inner feelings, my likes and dislikes. He knows even the very intentions, what I intend to do. He knows these things. And often these are also sinful. You know, in this country, in every country, the law of the land is in place. It's there to keep people. It can only really put a check on people's actions, persons' actions and their behavior. If a person is convicted of a crime, well, there must be some evidence to say that they intended, or they did the crime, or they intended to do the crime. For example, if it's a terrorist, and he's planning a terrorist crime, he doesn't get to carry it out, but the police get a wind of it. They track his emails. They pick up what he's planning to do on the phone. They bug his phone and so on. They gather all the evidence and then they arrest him. He hasn't actually done his crime, but he intended to commit a terrorist act. And so he's apprehended before. But the police need that evidence. They couldn't have seen the intention of his heart without the evidence before them, without the actions before them. But friends, God can see the intentions of our hearts. He doesn't need to see and to observe our actions before we do that. That's why he said, even if a person looks on a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery in his heart. Or if a person hates another person, well, that's considered murder in the Lord's sight. Well, God knows these things, friends. God knows me so well, so intricately. He even knows my wishes. Perhaps my wish is that there was a God who is not like this God of the Bible. I wish there was a God who was just loving God and who accepts everyone regardless of how they live their life, and who at the end of the day, well, this God of mine would accept everyone into heaven and there would be no hell. This is my wish. Maybe you have that kind of a wish. Oh, I wish that there was no holy God. Or maybe there's a wish in our hearts to just be rid of God completely. I wish there were no gods and no accountability to Him, that I may live my life as I like. I wish there was no moral restraint and I could just give way to my lusts and to do whatever I wanted to do. All these wishes, friends, which rise up in our hearts, God knows about them. But on the positive side also, if we are seeking God, and if we are wanting to be right with Him, and we want to know His blessing in our life, then He sees that too. He knows that too. If we're struggling to find Him, if we're sincerely seeking after Him, well, He knows. And He will come to aid us. He will come to help us. If we're praying to Him, if we're crying, Lord, save me. Lord, teach me the way of salvation. Lord, bring me to my right mind. Help me to live for Thee. He knows, He hears those prayers, and He will come and He will help us, friends. He hears and knows everything. Dear friends, God knows the way that I take. Do I know it? Do I know the way that I'm taking? Do I know where my path leads me to? Have I stopped? Have I considered these things? I'm going this way. Yes, where is it leading to? What's the end? What's the final destination of my life? And we jump on a bus or you jump on a train. Of course, before you jump on, you want to know where it's taking you. What's the final destination? Where is it going to go? And so in life, we have to be those who are thinking, considering, now if I follow this path, where is it leading to? If I go God's way, where does it lead to? Dear friends, there is only two final destinations. Death is not the end of the road. Some people think that's it. When you die, that's it. That's the end. But it's not. Death is not the end, because we have an immortal soul. A soul that goes on forever, that will never ever die, and will end up in one of two places. Either the path that we follow will bring us to heaven, to be with God forever and ever, and into everlasting joy and gladness. Or if we go our own way and we choose to rebel against the Lord, then it will bring us to hell and to everlasting separation from God. And happiness and joys will be all removed from us. Oh friends, are we thinking about these things? Or are we just drifting from day to day without considering, where am I going? What am I doing? What is the purpose for my life? It's a way, friends, that I take, but He knoweth the way that I take. That speaks to us of responsibility. It's a choice that I make. I cannot blame God. I cannot blame other people. I make the decisions. The responsibility lies with me. I make the choices. If I deliberately choose to live a life without God, or I choose to rebel against His commandments and refuse to respond to His calls, well, that's my fault. That's my responsibility. I will be held accountable for it. We cannot blame other people. On the day of judgment, when we stand before God, we cannot say, well, so-and-so made me do it. That's why I didn't believe in You. We cannot say, I couldn't help it, Lord. That's the way I was made. We couldn't say, oh, it was my genes. It was in my genes. That's why I rebelled against Thee. No, friends, it's our own responsibility. We will have to shoulder it ourselves. It's the way that I took. We cannot blame a bad example. Sometimes, yes, bad examples do influence how we live, but still the responsibility is with us. It's my responsibility. But then, just finally, in God's way, here we see, Job said, He knows the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And then look at verse 11. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Job was keeping to His way. Job was keeping to God's way. What is God's way? What is the way of God? Well, it's the way of salvation. It's the way of reconciliation. It's living a new life. Instead of living apart from God, we live with God. It's the way of peace. The way of peace with God, where we are no longer living in rebellion to Him, but are reconciled to Him, living willingly, doing His commandments, serving Him, from a cheerful heart, a glad heart. It's a way of peace with God, knowing His friendship in our lives, and we longing for Him and having communion with Him. It's a way, friends, a pleasant way. It's not an unpleasant way to serve God. God's way is the best way in life. It's just that we don't see it till we become Christians. It's the most pleasant way in life. This way that we go, don't we find it so broad, has brought us so much trouble? It has brought us into so much difficulties when we go our own way. But when we go Christ's way, it is a pleasant way to go. It's a way of blessing, friends, because you have the Lord near to you. You're no longer against God, you are for God. You are reconciled with Him. You're living with Him. He's there to help you. He's near to you. Whenever you call to Him, He will come to your aid. You need guidance in life. When you're in complex situations, the Lord is there to guide us. He's there to teach you and to instruct you, to be your help, to be your friend in life. Oh, friends, this is going God's way. To be living in communion and a reconciled relationship with Him. This is a way that He has established since the beginning of time. And it's the way of salvation, the way of forgiveness, the way that God, Christ Himself, has constructed for us. When He came into this world, the Son of God left heaven to make a way for sinful people to come again to the Lord. Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. Friends, the Lord, in great love for us, He gave Himself on Calvary's cross. He suffered in terrible agony. That inward agony that He had, we cannot enter into His sufferings that He went through when He bore the punishment for all His people's sins. Christ, the Holy One, died for unholy people to reconcile them to God. And such is the way when He did that, His sacrifice was accepted by the Father, and we are through Him able to come back again to the Lord. Come back. How do we get onto this way? How do we get onto God's way? Well, we must leave our own way. We must leave our own self-directed ways, our own living for ourselves. And we must repent and turn to God and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we cannot hold on to both ways, we cannot go our own way and go God's way, we must go either one. Our friends, turn to the Lord. This is what Job did. This is what he found out to his joy and his comfort. And if we go God's way, well, then we will also be glad to know. We also will be able to say here in verse 10, He knows the way that I take, with comfort, with joy, with gladness also, to know that God knows all about me. Now that I'm in a good relationship with Him, now that I'm in His favor in Christ, now that I'm His child, He knows the way that I take, and He will work things out for me. On that final judgment day, when I stand before Him, I can stand before Him with confidence, because He knows me, and He knows that I have gone His way. He knows that I've chosen to walk His path in life. And so when we come to heaven, well, he hasn't forgotten that. He said, this child, this person, he trusted in Christ. He believed in Christ. He took Christ as his Savior. Welcome into heaven. Welcome into eternal joys. This is the assurance that is given to each one, friends, who goes God's way. Oh, will you go? Which way will you go? Which way will you choose? Dear friends, don't cling to your own way. Give it up. Don't end life saying, I did it my way. End your life saying, I did it God's way. I followed the Lord. I kept His steps. I held on to His way. I didn't decline from His way. Imperfectly as it was, I went the way that God set out for me. And if we do that, He will receive us now. He will bless us now. And He will receive us also in the world to come. Let's pray together.